Father, thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would deepen our understanding of the text here today, but also, Lord, deepen our walk with you because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's two parts of today's study. We're going to look at all 23 verses that they read today, but we're only covering the first 12 verses now, and then in the second session, we're covering the remainder of the verses, okay? So that gives you an idea. So the notes that you have in front of you now are the first 12 verses of Matthew 2. Now, why are we studying Matthew 2? Because we're going through Luke, and as far as I know, you can't get to Matthew from Luke. It isn't part of it. The main reason we're doing this is I think that it's a significant event that is related to Christmas, but it's often forgotten, at least much of it is, and there's a lot of truth there. And Luke does not reference it at all. He doesn't even hint at it. So we'll probably explain it a little more next week as we finish up Luke chapter 2. All he says is once Mary and Joseph go and offer sacrifices and they see Simeon and Anna in the temple court area there, then they return to Nazareth, or they go to Nazareth, or whatever. So this happens sometime after Jesus is born, as we'll see, but before they return to Nazareth from this point. That's how they get to Nazareth. So anyway, we know that Mary and Joseph went to the temple on or about what? How many days after Jesus was born? From last week, do you remember? 40 days. That was the time of purification when a mother had a male child. She had to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. They offered two doves or pigeons because they were apparently poorer, and that's what they offered. But that was 40 days out. We don't think that the Magi had visited yet. Okay, the reason being is because as soon as the Magi visit, they have to flee. Mary and Joseph and Jesus have to flee. So they're no longer there, okay, in Bethlehem, as we'll see. So, and that's where Magi visited them. So let's get started here. I will not cover a lot of what I would like to cover because there's more here than there we have time for. But I'm covering an overview and some key ideas, but I probably won't focus on some of the ideas that you have maybe heard in the past from this passage. So the point number one is the Magi arrive from the east. The Magi arrive from the east. Sean inferred this, but the word Magi is the Greek word that's translated wise men. So I'm using that word Magi, okay, just to kind of clarify it. But we think that probably Daniel was a Magi in Babylon. To give you an idea, they were well-educated. They were like counselors and all of that, and they were broadly educated. I just read in my Bible reading yesterday, Daniel, several chapters in Daniel. In the Daniel, they said they took descendants of the kings and some of the sharp people of Israel and all that, or Judah, so that they could train them to be in the king's court. So they got this high level of education. So probably these people too. Anyway, they arrive. Let me read as we go here. But verse 1, that first section there says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Okay? So the first part is there's a stated timing. A stated timing. I'm going to shut this light off again. So it tells you when. What does it say there in verse 1? When did this happen? After Jesus was born. How many have seen crutches or manger scenes where they're in a barn, right? We don't think that that's what the way it was. But who's there? The sheep, the goats, the cows, the little drummer boy. Sometimes Santa's there. But who else? The shepherds and the wise men. Totally inaccurate, right? On multiple counts for what I said. But the wise men weren't there the evening he was born. okay? The shepherds were, but the wise men came when? What does it say in verse 1? After. So why are we covering this in January? It's very appropriate to cover Matthew 2 after Christmas because it happened after Christmas. It didn't happen during Christmas. The wise men really don't have a direct relationship to the day Jesus was born. They do have a relationship to the fact that of the fact that he was born. Okay, as we'll see. Their point was to acknowledge his arrival, not to be there when he was born. They didn't visit him in the hospital, so to speak, okay? So the stated timing is now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, and notice here it adds, in the days of Herod the king. So that gives a timing. I didn't research out. Herod died somewhere between 4 and 6 B.C., so we know that Jesus was born before that time, right? Somewhere in there. So that gives us a kind of a timing idea there from a scriptural standpoint. So Jesus wasn't born at 1 A.D. or 1 B.C. He was born probably 5 or 6 B.C. is what we think. Okay? Now, here's the next part here. It's the special visitors. Okay, behold, it says, after Jesus was born, behold, Luke uses this word a lot too, behold, see, wise men came from the east, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Okay, we didn't focus a lot on this, and again, this could be easily 10 sermons for all the information that's here. So our goal is to pace ourselves and just cover key ideas as we go through Luke all the way and even here in Matthew. But they were wise men. Sean said accurately that we have no idea how many. How many does it say there in the passage that there are? Yeah, more than one. They're plural. These guys were probably high up. Daniel, as I mentioned, I read yesterday, he was in charge of all of the wise men. But wise men were like bureaucrats, if you will, or high up people. They would not have traveled alone. They would have had an entourage. Okay? And we don't know how many wise men. There was at least two because it's plural. It could have been 10 wise men. Okay? It was a group of wise men, two or more, and they would have had, in traveling, I looked it up again, it's over 900 miles. They would have had to carry all of their supplies, equipment. They would have carried people to protect them, people to set up their tents and tear them down. You can call them servants or slaves, whatever you want, but that's what they would have had. They would have had people to care for their camels or whatever type of travel means they had, all of that. That I mentioned, prepare their food. All of those things would have had to happen. So they would have had a large group of people traveling. It wouldn't have been like, whoa, you know, I didn't see him go through. You would have seen this group go through. Okay? It would have been a big deal. And they were from the east, we think probably from Babylon, for a couple reasons. The idea of magi seems to be a Babylonian term, but also, they know about Jesus. From an Old Testament standpoint, this, I mean, they know about this King of the Jews idea. Okay? Daniel was very influential in Babylon. He was in politics, not by his choice, but like around 70 years. He went through 4 different kings. Okay? He lived to the second year of Cyrus the king, the Bible says. Okay? So very likely that Daniel had indirect influence. Daniel was about 600 years before this, okay? But he would have had influence over the people of Babylon. So anyway, special visitors. Again, we don't know how many. We know they came from the east. It's not a super big deal to identify that in detail. But if they did come from Babylon, it's a 900-mile trip, which you can make in one long day in a car, but on a camel or people even walking with you, even if you were riding, maybe your helpers weren't, you don't make 30 miles a day. You might make 10 miles or 15 miles. It depends on the terrain and all of that and how much time you have to stop and things like that. So anyway, so special visitors. Letter C here. They came to Jerusalem, as we notice, and they had a question. They had a single question. And what is it, their question? Where is he who has been born? So it's past tense again, right? It's something that has taken place. King of the Jews. They're asking for a specific person. Apparently there's royalty here. Where would that be? And notice they came to Jerusalem. Why would they go to Jerusalem? Because that's where Israel was ruled from. You would go there. I'm going to go to the next one here and explain something else here, but I call it the stellar sign. It was a star, but it wasn't a star like you're thinking of, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they say that, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Okay, so about this star. At present, they had seen it, but they don't see it right now. The star is not there. Somehow the star indicated that Jesus was born in Israel, the King of the Jews. So where do you find King of the Jews? You find him in Israel. Okay? So the star indicated that. So they apparently the star did not lead them to Jerusalem. The star told them who the king was. It was the King of the Jews, so they knew where that would be in Israel. Where did they see the star at? In the east. They don't see it now. The star appeared or in some way signified that the King of the Jews was born, and it was indicative in some way, either by, as Sean said, the astrology, that they understood that the different stars meant different things. And apparently God worked in that way to let them know. But I think there was an affirmation, again, through the influence of Daniel, that made them sensitive to that. But the star, they saw it in the east, but they didn't see it apparently traveling all the way to Jerusalem. That told them enough to find out where to go. 900 miles away, where would you find the King of the Jews? You'd find him in the nation of the Jews, Israel. And where would you go? The capital city, Jerusalem. Okay, so they're just following a logical path right now. They saw the star in the east. It did not lead them to Jerusalem. It told them it was the King of the Jews. We've seen a star in the east. And so therefore, now they're what? They're asking. They figure everyone will know where the King of the Jews was born, right? Because that would make the news in most papers. Nobody knows. All right? We've seen a star in the east. And notice here, I call this a specific purpose. Why were they coming? And this is significant here. This is where I think they almost have to have influence from Daniel. How many kings do you worship? None. You don't worship a king unless, like Nebuchadnezzar, they try to force Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down, and they would not. But that's not, you're the capacity of a ruler, not a god. They came to what? To worship him. So there's an acknowledgement that he is more than just a king. He is a divine placement. Okay? He is God himself in some way. All right? So they come for a specific purpose. They came to worship him. All right? So the Magi arrive from the east, the wise men. They come after Jesus is born, while Herod is ruling. It gives us a little bit of a time frame there. They come from the east, again, probably Babylon. They have one question: where is he that is born king of the Jews? The reason they know to look for him is they had seen the star in the east. It appeared there, and that was like the alarm clock or the announcement to them that the king of the Jews had been born. And so they traveled to where they would normally find the king of the Jews, and that's Jerusalem. And the reason they came was not just to say hello or to stare at him. They came to worship him, okay? Which is amazing because it really shook things up, as we'll see. Number two here, I call it a king rages in Jerusalem. A king rages in Jerusalem. I don't think any of us would have liked to have known King Herod. And even this first verse 3 says this. Notice, when Herod the king heard this. Now, it doesn't sound like necessarily that he had met the wise men yet at this time, but it came somehow to his ears. The king probably had people out listening all the time to find out what's going on in his kingdom, and especially Herod. Herod had killed family members, had killed, slaughtered people, and all of that. He was very ruthless. He was very paranoid. Okay? But when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the noise had gone out in Jerusalem that there's this large group, an entourage, where wise men are asking where the king of the Jews has been born. And Herod heard about it, and everyone in Jerusalem was worried how he would react, because he had a reputation. Okay? So I'd say letter A here is Herod is troubled. And so therefore, all of Jerusalem is troubled because they don't know how he's going to react. Okay? Because he's ruthless. He's killed all kinds of people, including his own family members. So what does Herod do? Herod's out to protect Herod. Herod is for Herod. Herod is Herod's favorite person. Okay? And he believes that he's the only one that should and deserve to be ruling around. So number four here, it says, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. So I call this Herod gathers the experts. He gathers the experts. The chief priests and scribes. The chief priests are the spiritual leaders in Jerusalem. There should have only been one, but they have distorted things by then. And also the scribes were those that copied the scriptures. Ezra was a scribe. So therefore, when you're copying, that was their Xerox machine or copy machine, was they copied things by hand, right? So the people that copied them, number one, would be educated, obviously, but also they would learn the scriptures very well because you're copying them over and over, okay? So who do you go to? You go to the chief priests who supposedly know the law, the Old Testament, and the scribes. Okay? So he gathers the experts. And let her see here, he questions the experts. Herod questions the experts. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Isn't it interesting, at least it is to me, that here's a guy that has no qualms about murdering people. And yet he knows where to find answers. If you were an unbeliever and somehow you had heard that the Old Testament, a portion of the Old Testament, had supposedly been fulfilled, what would you do? It's funny, but the unbelievers, including the high priest and stuff like that, did everything they could do to circumvent that. Herod was no different. It's funny, but he looks to the scriptures to to find the answer to prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. He saw the scriptures as a reliable source of information, even though he did not believe the God of the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? So what did they tell him here? They said, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, the Messiah, and Herod was the king of the Jews at the time, placed there by Rome, and he knew all about Jews. In fact, I think Herod was half Jew, I think. Okay, so the idea, he knew the scriptures, but he didn't believe them, and yet he still consulted the people that knew the scriptures. He obviously didn't know them well, because that's not a hard answer, right? The Old Testament is very clear on where Jesus would be born. So the experts answer Herod. The experts answer Herod. They say this, verses 5 and 6 in your notes, if you'd read that with me here. It says, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They're able to answer. These scribes and chief priests that likely did not acknowledge your walk with God still knew where the answers were as well. This is what the prophet says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So the scripture's clear. They turn over and said, the prophet says it's the prophet. What's the prophet's name? Elizabeth, what do you know? What's the prophet's name where the Bible tells where Jesus will be born? Micah. I'm giving you an easy one. Micah. That's his name. Micah 5:2, right? They said the prophet, Micah 5:2 says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Why did it say Bethlehem of Judea? Because there's more than one Bethlehem. Okay, there's different, just like there's more than one Greenville and Greenfield and different places. How many Des Moines are there? Sean, do you know the answer?
No, there's at least two.
I think there's four now. There's one in Washington, there's one in New Mexico and here, and there's one other one that's now around. Okay, so you would have to say Des Moines, Iowa, right? The city, so it's Bethlehem of Judea. Okay, that's why the scripture says it's very specific. There's no mistaking it now. Bethlehem was near Jerusalem, kind of a suburb of sorts, not, you know, about 5 miles away, we said, when Mary and Joseph traveled to the temple from Bethlehem. It was about a 5-mile trip there. So the experts answer, easy answer, Bethlehem of Judea. Letter E here. So notice this. This seems like now Herod calls for the Magi, okay? So he questions the Magi, and he does it secretly because he has a transparent administration, okay? Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, the Magi, determined from them what time the star appeared. And the word determine is like a very, he ascertained very carefully from them what time the star appeared. Okay? So again, the indication is that Jesus wasn't just born. Otherwise, that would be a pretty easy response for Herod, as we'll see. But there was a time frame. It had been a while. How long, we don't know. We know it was more than 40 days. Because Mary and Joseph went from Bethlehem to the temple at 40 days. You with me on that? So they were still in Bethlehem. It wasn't until after the Magi came that they fled to Egypt, and then they returned later to Nazareth. Okay, so we know that they were in Nazareth here, they were in Bethlehem here. So it was at least a month and a half, and it could have been a year afterwards. We don't know, but they were still in Bethlehem when the Magi visited. Okay, because that's where they were told, okay, to go, and that's where they were. It's interesting that Mary and Joseph stayed until God told them to go someplace else. Always. There was always some kind of circumstance. It was the taxation, the census, to go to Bethlehem. So they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then if they had to go to the temple, they go to Jerusalem. Then they go back to Bethlehem. They stayed in Bethlehem until God moved them again. So Herod questions the Magi, and he determines very precisely when the star appeared. Probably down to the days is the idea. It's very meticulous timing. Okay? Whenever it was, he figured it out. Okay? Now, the backside of your notes here, one more with Herod here. Herod, it's interesting, but he meets with the Magi secretly, and now he sends the Magi. And you're saying, what? No, that's what happened. The Magi are looking and asking where the king of the Jews is. They do not know specifically where he's at. That's why they had to ask. There's no star at this point, right? They know that the king of Jews has been born. They go to the headquarters of the Jewish nation and start asking around. And it gets to the king. And then he invites them in and say, before I, you know, I'm adding a little scenario here, but in his mind he said, before I tell them, I need to know all the details. And he finds out exactly when the star appeared. Then he tells them where to go to find the king. Okay? Notice what it says here. And he, Herod, sent them, the Magi, to Bethlehem. Oh, they're going. They didn't know where to go until they were told by the king right now, you go to Bethlehem, that's where you'll find him. How did he know? Because he asked the experts. And the experts said they'll find him in Bethlehem in Judea. So he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search. There's two commands here. Go is like in Matthew 28 where it says, having gone. Once you've gone, command number one, search carefully for the young child. And it's interesting, and I'm not certain because I didn't have the time, but they don't use the term infant here. They use the term small child. So that may be indicative that it's been a little while also. But go, search is the command, carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, here's the second man, bring back word, report to me. He's telling them, as the king of Israel right now, go search in Bethlehem. That's where you're supposed to go. He's giving them information that they do not have at this point. Go to Bethlehem. That's where you'll find him. Search out there. And then when you find him, report back to me, the second command. And then he gives a reason. That I may come and worship him also. Is that what he thinking? Not Herod. Who was Herod's favorite person? Herod, right? He was lying through his teeth to them. He was conniving all the way along. Listen, and we'll kind of give you a little principle at the end here, but the Magi had no idea. The Magi don't read minds. Okay, so, oh, that's exact. We came and the king invites us in and tells us where to go, to Bethlehem. And sure, of course, wouldn't everyone want to worship the king? Right? That seems normal. So they're, sounds good. All right, and look at what they did here. Number three, the main point for number three is the Magi worship the king of the Jews. It's interesting that they didn't worship the present king of the Jews, out of contrast too, right? See what I'm saying? They're not there just to acknowledge a king. They're there to worship someone that's more than a king. Okay? Verse 9. When they heard the king, when they, the Magi, heard the king, they departed. Heard the king what? Say what? Go search in Bethlehem and report back to me. Okay? So I just use it this way, and it looks like I forgot to underline it, but the Magi obey the king. They do what the king says. Hey, that's what we came for. We wanted to know where the king of the Jews was. Bethlehem, we'll head to Bethlehem. 5 miles away, we'll start looking. We're going to look around Bethlehem until we find this guy, okay? Find this baby, okay? Let her be here now. God directs the Magi. They saw the star where? In the east. The star hasn't been around. That's why they're asking where to go. But then what happens? It says here, and behold, didn't I say Luke liked to use the word behold? Behold, behold, Luke. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east, same star, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Is this like any other star? It's not a star. It's not a bunch of planets lining up either. It's not a comet. I read something the other day that they thought maybe it's a comet. What did it do? They were going to go look, search diligently as the king told them to do. Right? But they didn't have to. Why? Because whatever this star was, obviously some bright, shiny light, like a star, but it's different. It moves. It's close enough to the earth that directs them. You can look up at the stars and you can know which direction is north. Right? By looking at the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. The North Star is the tip of the Little Dipper, right? And that's north. But it doesn't tell you where someplace is. You can look at the star and say, how do I get to McDonald's from here? It won't happen. You might know that, well, if that's north, McDonald's is east. That's not what happened here. The star moved. It says there that it went before them. They were following whatever this is, and it had to be low enough to the ground. What was it in the sky, the atmosphere? It had to be because it stood over the house that Jesus lived in. It specifically pointed out the house. That is not a normal star. That is not an alignment of planets. And it certainly isn't a comet. You don't want a comet sitting over your house. Because your house would be gone. Okay? It's something very particular and very precise. And it stood over where the young child was. And by the way, the word was is was being. It's one of those imperfect tenses again. Where he was living. Okay? But it's pretty amazing. And again, people try to explain the star with natural phenomenon. This was supernatural. It wasn't something you can explain with science. It's God showing them exactly where to go. I don't honestly know. Why didn't God let them have the star the whole time? I don't have the answer to that. Why did God let them ask around Jerusalem before he showed the star again? I don't have the answer to that. Could he have done that? Instead of having them get Herod all excited? He could have, but he didn't. Okay, again, they were just doing the best they could. And now God directs them right to the house where Jesus was living. Okay, now what did the Magi do? When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Okay? And yeah, my original, I redo the outline several times till something works better, but I had originally delirious joy. Because it says here, it says, and having seen the star, they rejoiced a joy great exceedingly. They were just like, it's like if Iowa had won the Rose Bowl. They were just beside themselves with joy. Because guess what? It wasn't, we see stars all the time. No big deal. No, this was the star from the east. And it was like, look, we're being guided right to this place. They were delirious with joy. Okay? They rejoiced greatly. I don't think you can overstate that based upon what it says in the Greek there. It's just like, it's really, and there's Luke using that word that he uses a lot is greatly. And I don't even, this word that is exceedingly is svodra. It's an explosion of joy, okay? Now, next one here. This isn't hard, and I broke this up a little bit more because I felt it worthy of it. But the Magi see Jesus. And I want to point out here, verse 11, when you get that written here. Look at verse 11 with me, will you? It says, and when they, the Magi, right, had come into the house that the star stood over, so they knew, they didn't even have to worry about, is this the right place? It was that specific. They went into the house, and they saw the young child, there's that word again, not the baby in the manger, right? That's what was told to the shepherds. You find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, here's a young child in a house. Who was there and who wasn't there? Because this, you have to change all of your Christmas crutches. Number one, the wise men will never be there. You know, at the manger, because they didn't get there in time for that. So plenty of time afterward. Who was there and who wasn't there? The wise men are there, how many ever there are. What does it say there? Well, the shepherds weren't there. Dogs, cats, cows, horses, goats, right? None of that. What else? Who was there? Mary was there. Who wasn't there? Joseph wasn't there. The wise men visited Jesus and Mary. Joseph's not there. Where's he at? He's not dead, by the way. He's probably at work. He's working somewhere. What did he do for work? He was a carpenter. What does a carpenter do? You build with wood. You go where you build. Oftentimes, if they were building a structure or whatever, or he's at a shop, probably helping somebody else. He was not a wealthy man based upon what they offered for Jesus, right? So he probably maybe worked with or for somebody else. So Joseph wasn't even there. Can you imagine what Mary said to him when he came home from work that day? Hey, Joseph. Yes, dear. Kind of tired, but what? You'll never believe who stopped by today. What's all this camel stuff out here? That's part of it. Right? Can you imagine what his day would be like when he got home? Right? He wasn't there. He was in the vicinity, as we'll see, but it doesn't appear that he was there when the wise men visited. So change your Christmas stuff again, right? It didn't happen at Christmas. And it didn't happen with Joseph. And it didn't happen with a baby. It was a young child. And it happened in a house. Now, Pastor Jim mentioned the other day to me, where was Jesus born? We have no idea where he was born. Where was he laid? In a manger. So that gives an indication of what? Not necessarily a stable, but there was a... Most houses had a, if you call it a built-in, kind of like a garage where you kept your animals. So I suppose you call it a stable. But it's part of the house, right? And there's no room for them in the inn. What does the word inn mean? There's no innkeeper, right? We're not talking Motel 6. We're talking about a house. The inn is what? The upper room or the guest room or whatever. Joseph would have stayed with relatives. Because they were pulled there because of the census, they probably had a whole house full because everyone else had to come to Bethlehem too. Maybe his brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever. You know, all around. So there was no room in the upper room. So they, in the same house, they had him wherever they could. And they laid him in a manger because the place was packed. Well, the taxation census had passed by now. How much time has gone by? We don't know, but at least 40 days. If more, so people are going home now. They're done with their taxes. Mary and Joseph stayed in Bethlehem. Why are they going to stay in Bethlehem until God moves them someplace else? They were working off of God's plan, and God hadn't told them anything else yet. Okay? So the house, they could have just, well, now that it's cleared out, one of two things. Either Joseph got a different house because he was living there. Very possible that he was now living, he and Mary and Joseph were living in their own abode. And that could be what this is here. Or they might still be at the relative's house. And I would say probably, I don't know what the culture is, but if you're going to be there for an extended time, you might get your own house. You know, if you're planning on staying indefinitely. So one or the other. They're either at the same house where Jesus was born and laid in the feeding trough there because the house was packed with visitors, or by now they have their own house because they have an uncertain length of time they're going to be there. And Joseph's at work, most likely, right? Okay. So the Magi see Jesus. Now notice this. What do? They didn't do this with Herod, by the way. I just want to contrast that. They saw Jesus as more than a king. They worshiped Jesus. All right? They fell down. They didn't do this with Herod. They fell down to this little child. Was he a toddler? Was he walking already? Who knows? But they fell down and worshiped him. You worship a god. You don't worship a king. They acknowledge him as being God. Okay? And it's super huge that way. Notice next point here, letter F. The Magi present gifts to Jesus. Now you've heard me be the bah humbug person before, but if you use the wise men as a justification to give gifts at Christmas time, number one, it didn't happen at Christmas time. And they didn't give gifts to each other. They gave them to Jesus, right? They didn't exchange gifts. They could have done that in Babylon, right? They gave the gifts all to Jesus. The distraction of Christmas oftentimes is the gifts, but there was no giving except God giving at Christmas time. And that was the one gift that everybody needs, that's Jesus. And then the Magi came later, at least 40 days later or more, and then, and it could have been a year and a half later, we don't know, and they presented gifts to Jesus. So Christmas, if you want to celebrate Christmas, it really isn't about gifts at all, okay? It's about the gift and the one gift that everybody needs to know, understand, that Jesus came, just like the last song we sang, so that he could be our Savior. The one song, we'll get to that in a second here. Because it's in the next point. They present gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The song, is it We Three Kings? They acknowledge him as king and God and sacrifice. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. But that's significant. The gold is a kingly type of gift. They even give you gold when you got, when you were born or for your first birthday or whatever? Me neither. Frankincense is something used in the temple to worship God. That's what they used as a mix for the offerings, right? So that's that's king and God. Frankincense was something worthy of worshiping God. By the way, you know what the Greek word for frankincense is? And I haven't studied the significance of it, but it's Lebanon, as in the country. I'll let you figure that out. I'm like, Lebanon? So, gold and Lebanon and Smyrna. Okay, myrrh, which is the idea of mourning or sacrifice, and I think they use that as a to care for corpses after they died. Okay, so there may be significance in the gifts. The Bible doesn't really go into detail, but it's interesting that God specifies what the gifts are. And then God warns the Magi. Then being divinely warned in a dream, and divinely warned is not, it's instructed, divinely instructed in a dream. And God did that sometimes in a dream and sometimes outside of a dream, that they should not return to Herod. So God warns the Magi. And the last one here, they departed their own way, for their own country another way. Okay? They detour home. They don't go the same way home. They don't go back to Jerusalem and report to the king as he commands. God warns them not to. Now listen, should you obey the king? Yes, you should. The Bible commands you to. But when the king tells you one thing and God tells you something else, who do you obey? God, because he outranks any king. And so they obey God rather than man. Okay? Brief observations. We have to stop because we have to come back again. But here's four things. God works with many peoples in many ways. He was working in Babylon. Okay? Not just in Jerusalem. God's ways span long periods of time. Judah was carried off in 586 B.C., Daniel was taken then. Okay? That impacted the Magi, I believe it. God's plan is longer than your lifespan. And you can be thankful for that, that you are not the end product of God. You're not the end result. You are part of his plan, but you are not all of his plan. God's plan is bigger than your life. God intervenes as he sees fit. I told you, I don't know why he didn't just guide the wise men right to Jesus, because it would have avoided what we're going to talk about in the next hour. But he didn't. But he intervenes as needed. He directs them to Jesus' house so they don't have to look. And he warns them to go a different route so that they don't go back to the king. And God's work always has enemies, as we'll see in the next hour. Let's pray and we'll come back. Lord, thank you for this part of Matthew 2. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us again to understand what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. And help us, Lord, to grow because of it. Bless our fellowship time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.